Blog Talk Radio.
Storybox Audio. Good evening and welcome to the Sunday show. I'm the producer, Gwen, and I'm down in South Florida, as is our panelist, author Ronald Feynman. And
hello, everyone.
The progressive professor and blogger, Wayne. Oh, boy, guys. Wayne Johnson is up in Annapolis, and this is the Week in Review. Okay.
Well, that's from, right.
From a progressive point of view, my progressive point of view, as I was explaining to the gentleman prior to the mics opening up on air, is that both of the parties can AMA, and I will vote for the person I think is best, and if I don't see a best in the lineup, I ain't voting. It's gotten so weird. When the Democrats can impose taxes for the tiny businesses that have been surviving under COVID and everything else on PayPal, Square, all sorts of little financial platforms. Of course, other big business goes through it, but not much big. And for them to ignore the friggin' corporations as they are doing yet further on and not putting taxes back into, back into effect that capture the kind of money that Jeff Bezos should be paying, or Bill Gates. Or
oh, absolutely. No question.
You know, enough with the space dicks. Let's have some real change. But that doesn't happen with political machines. And hey, there's no fools like a old fool, and you can't beat experience. So I basically have learned my lesson with politicians. I do think there's good politicians to be had that have parties. I still think that Elizabeth Warren is a wonderful leader.
Yes.
I think Bernie is a great, you know, especially he and Elizabeth are great wonks for legislation and bringing the new in. And we have wonderful young people just a little bag of few, but the overall machinery of politics in Washington, D.C., that old Potomac two-step just goes on and on. It's like the buffaloes going over the cliff into the gorge. They just keep running right over the damn cliff, and you know, fool like an old fool, you can't beat experience, so it's like, wow. Really? Now, Ron's going to tell you why I should rethink that.
Well, because if you continue, you know, on that vein, you're going to get the most right-wing people in government, and that's worse than having moderate centrist Democrats.
How? If the House and the Senate were filled with a bunch of right-wingers for 4 or 6 years, they might actually blow the puppy up and we begin again, you know?
Well,
I'm starting to think in those.
We had that and they did.
Oh, no. But we did not have that. We had a real piece of work in the White House. Well, one of the.
Well, I was talking about W. Bush and Dick Cheney when they imploded the whole global economy from banking abuses. It was all far right wing, predominantly a plethora of right wing viewpoints in the House and Senate and the presidency. They basically removed all checks and balances on banking.
Right. And then
into a war on lies.
And none of it changed.
Not only Iran, but Afghanistan, which we just finally got out of there. Where the corporations who got them in power, W. Bush and Dick Cheney, have been sucking off the taxpayers' debt for so damn long that we're numb.
Oh, and then little business people will be paying the lion's share.
Absolutely, right, right.
Of
well,
taxes.
That's, you know,
and that's right, under Democrats. That's under Democrats. And look how Barack Obama had to throw out and compromise with the bankers, threw out all
yes.
the Warrens, all of Warren's good work. I mean, this is just ridiculous, guys. It's the buffaloes are running over the cliff. And if we gave them freedom to go further and faster, maybe we could get all the DD buffaloes off the playing field and get some new talent.
Well, the problem is when they had this plethora of influence, they redistrict everything in such a
and now they're doing it again with gerrymandering. Yeah,
and they you know, there's no way you could even blow them out of office now with a ton of dynamite because the districts have been so gerrymandered, right? And now they're talking about redesigning the aspects here in Maryland. And fucking Republicans are going to try to gerrymander it so bad that even the state of Maryland will become Republican-influenced.
Wait a minute. Isn't Maryland a Democratic state as far as the legislature?
Oh, yes. But
so if they're the minority, how can they promote gerrymandering? The majority, like in Illinois, is Democratic. They're making it more Democratic in Illinois. How can they do that in Maryland?
Well,
is that because the governor can veto it?
Number one, you know, we're supposed to have a moderate governor who has a large influence on this, and his chief of staff has just been indicted for all of his criminal taking bribes and shit.
Yeah, it's all the same shit.
but can he himself, Hogan,
because he's a Republican, stop and make it a Republican-dominated gerrymandering? I'm surprised.
I am so leery, and
you don't know for sure, though.
No, I don't know for sure, but it's.
I hope you're wrong.
It's not right, so we need to change it.
My son lives in Maryland like you do, and he likes that, even though it's a Republican governor, at least it's Democratic-oriented with the House and Senate and all that, you know, and the legislature.
Well, because it has been evenly, our districts have been evenly represented, or, you know, divided up and stuff, because, oh, here's one for you, Professor, and I think I said it to you. The outer two counties in western Maryland, which
out of three, actually. There's three counties,
and
one is during West Virginia,
yeah,
you would
that's
say, right?
Right. It's Allegheny, Garrett, and I can't think of the third one. Allegheny, Garrett, anyway, three counties in Western
Let them go.
Well, that's fine with me. If they want to go. Thing is, West Virginia can't support itself. Those counties cannot support themselves. They have been a drain on the taxpayers here in the mid area of Annapolis, the Baltimore-Washington corridor, right, has been such a drain that they're sucking more of the economic tax base out to those countries. And the same thing for the Eastern Shore. Eastern Shore tried to, there was a Republican senator who thought he was going to take the Eastern Shore of Maryland and make it its own state. And the dumbass was saying, he had this azure blue background with a single star. And I knew a guy, actually a Masonic brother, who was interning there. And he said, this is going to be the new state's flag. And the kid who happened to be his history major says, well, that's the Bonnie Blue. And Rich Colburn was his name. The state senator said, what? He said, yeah, that's the Confederate flag, the Bonnie Blue. It's a Confederate flag. Anyway. But that was what's going to be the Eastern Shore of Maryland, the state of the Eastern Shore of Maryland, whatever hell he's going to call it, you know, Rich Colburnville, you know, state of Colburn.
Oh, my God.
But that's the kind of shit that's there. So we have these two extreme aspects, the other side of the Chesapeake Bay, the Eastern Shore of Maryland, and then the three counties in the far western part under Pittsburgh and West Virginia. You know, north of the panhandle there in West Virginia. And they, you know, both of them tried to secede from the state of Maryland because we're conservative Republicans and the rest of the state is, liberal Democrats
this.
And stuff.
All
anyway, I'll get off my soapbox.
I wanted to mention that actually there are a few counties in Washington State that want to join Idaho. Can you believe that?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
All of this
loving
politic,
it.
All of this politic ignores the reality of where we are at right now. In case anybody hasn't noticed, the state of Maryland is not as bad as Pennsylvania, but the Pennsylvania emergency rooms are overflooding with children too that have COVID right now.
Right.
Lots
COVID,
of states.
Right.
So there's plague running around still. You know,
because
somebody kidnapped Mitch McConnell and throw him in. Anyway, and not only that, but there's been a grid failure due to climate change across this country over and over again for the last few months. Huge grid failures that are just way too much for them to handle, takes it way too long, and life is sacrificed in it. And the weather is kicking up. And this week, there's going to be a lot of dangerous weather out there again.
Yeah, I saw the forecast, yeah.
Yep.
You know, I mean, all of these things that are going on, and the Democrats and the presidential office had a very, very big, huge plan for infrastructure to revamp the country and kick things back on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going nowhere.
It died because
it's been cut in half, but 3.5.
They can't get the majority votes.
Yeah, can't get because of Cinnamon Mansion. Yeah,
it died. It's gone.
Let's
have the thing
now.
Wrong?
It'd be nice if Lisa Murkowski would join, or a couple of others like
it'd
Ben Sasse.
Nice, it doesn't happen, does it? And
no, even with Lisa Murkowski, the one I always say is the one that sometimes goes along, but not now. You know.
And meanwhile, bridges and train trestles and overpasses and highways of
airports,
and airports are all deteriorating too. I mean, we are at banana republic levels in too many places in this country right now. And that's just the truth. I've been out and about. I've seen some shit.
I agree with you, Glenn.
I mean, do not go to Philly. Stay out of the airport. It's just shocking. It's really
that's interesting because I'm planning to maybe go on vacation this summer, coming summer in Philadelphia. Maybe I'll have to reconsider.
Well, their airport is one of the most antiquated and hardest to get around, and it's consecutive buildings and depots for the different airlines. Nothing is coordinated as far as I could tell.
Oh,
and
God.
It's hell to get through. I'd rather go to Newark, thank you very much. And
Glenn,
I will
confirm that with you. When I was a regional sales manager, I used to take a commuter hop from Salisbury, Maryland, which always connected into Philly by U.S. Air and then out to wherever. And I would get into Philly coming home at supposed to be like 4 o'clock, which means, and my flight was supposed to take off, which means I would be back in Salisbury by 5 o'clock and home by 5:30 after a week on the road.
Well,
U.S. Air would say they canceled the flight, and I had to wait in that damn concourse till 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
They were waiting for more people to come in so they could save money on the fuel instead of keeping their scheduled advertised flights.
Yeah.
So bunch us all up at 11 o'clock and dump us into Salisbury.
What year was this around?
Major metropolitan airports that have become harder and harder to get through. And then, again, there's been major metropolitan upgrades with airports before all of the trouble started 3 years ago. Philadelphia is not one of them.
No.
And there are, Washington, D.C., holy crap.
You're talking about Reagan National or Dulles?
Dulles was just really, the damn chairs sitting in to wait for your plane in the sections are falling apart. are falling apart in the nation's capital.
Oh my God!
Well, and
when did this happen with your experience that you were talking about, Wayne?
Yeah,
but year round.
Well, that would have been. Let's see. Well, all through the '90s, and even I quit flying around around 2005, and that's
well,
what it was. But it's still just as bad.
Yeah, but USA doesn't exist anymore, right?
Huh?
USA no longer is in business, is it?
No, it's
USA,
not.
Yeah. Well, it got absorbed by United, but yes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So obviously it was failing, so it no longer exists under that name, yeah.
Yeah,
oh.
Well, it's still United,
and
it's still the same
gentlemen,
crap.
Gentlemen, you fly into one of the oldest airports there is, Orly, in Paris, and it is ultra-modern. Plus, you can smoke. But you fly into Gatwick, which is one of the elderly airports in England. And the service is wonderful. They've upgraded. I mean, if you get on a train in Europe, you're going someplace. Let's not talk about Japan. Japan has the bullet trains. I mean, every other country that has the capability and the income has serviced their country with upgrades and upkeep. Of course, I won't go that far with European roads. We all know, but their autobahn, their major highways, they do. And ours, I mean, get on I-95 out here. Oh my God!
Mm-hmm.
And if they aren't enlarging it. They're spotty, you know, repair work isn't good for, I mean, geez, in West Palm, it didn't last like 3-4 months, and it was it all concaved again. And this is because they aren't using the correct materials, because somebody is corrupt and is pulling the funds out for their pocket in the oversea. I mean, this is terrible. This is horrible. Up in Alaska, all the they have to work all year round on the roads because of weather, but they do, and they keep it up. California has some real bad patches too, depending on what county you're going through. This is terrible. This is really awful, guys. I mean, I've driven all my life through this country and up and down the East Coast, and I just can't imagine it. And Ron, you're going to fly into Philly.
Oh, my God, maybe I'm not.
Well, there's always this. Look for the other airport that's nearby, that's smaller or whatever, and go there. Uber over or get somebody to pick you up. It's because I'll tell you, getting through Philadelphia when I went up to Maine, my God, what a problem that was. I mean, it really pissed me off.
Hey, Glenn, like I said, because I'm live here in the Mid-Atlantic, and, you know, most of my traveling is coming through the Mid-Atlantic and intersecting around here and stuff, you are absolutely correct about the Philadelphia airport.
And this is it's really about who's overseeing this, who's got their hands in whose pockets, and that comes back to the political questions again. And our country is failing on so many levels in so many different ways, and everybody being very grateful that we got, you know, Joe Biden for president. Well, what has he gotten done? He's gotten vaccinations going. Ron, this is your job. What has he achieved? What has he gotten done? What has he changed?
Well, he's reversed a lot of environmental damage done by Trump.
That's
for one
thing. Good. Yeah, that's
yeah,
good.
That's correct.
And again,
the
president is not a dictator. It's up to the Congress, and that's the problem, that he has these two prima donnas that are messing things up and a few in the House. So it
there's
makes it very
grandma.
Difficult. But I think there will be a – there will be a adoption of, but it won't be as much as he wanted to accomplish. But you know, but part of politics is compromise. As long as you're moving ahead, and I think we will be moving ahead very soon, hopefully.
You know what though, Ron? This is my fear, and it usually is the reality, and I think it's the reality now. The moving ahead, the compromise, and the moving ahead is not keeping pace with the state of crisis that the planet, the country, and the people are in.
That's all because of our West Virginia senator, you know, yeah.
Right.
Well,
and folks with my science background, we do not have any buffer to act against climate change. It has to be done now. As a matter of fact, it should have been done 20 years ago when we knew.
Well,
it poses
a security risk to the country. It's a clear and present danger, but none of them are saying so. Because it'll kick the corporate pockets that keep filling D.C. with money if we begin to change over. Then again, I have heard it said by some people who've been keeping an eye on things, because you know I don't do too much of that anymore, that we are going to be switching over to, we're going to get rid of the combustion engine pretty quick. Now, I don't know how that's going to happen.
Yes, we are headed very rapidly in that, and that's free enterprise. That's not government taking action to promote.
Right.
It is the capitalist system that's saying, look, GM and Ford are both opening up brand new assembly car assembly plants in Kentucky and Tennessee, and it's all going to be electric vehicles. Well, what's really driving that is China.
We can put some Russians to work that work for McConnell to work in Kentucky there, I'm sure.
Well, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure.
Do you get my subtle drift there? Do you get my subtle drift?
Yeah.
That is true. I'm hearing it from a lot of different people who keep on top of that. They don't keep on top of politics. They keep on top of green energy, and there is going to be that. But I have a problem with Ford right now. I will not forgive them for SUVing the Mustang. No.
For what we're doing, what with the Mustang?
That cannot be forgiven. They SUV'd the Mustang.
Oh, they SUV'd the Mustang. I know. Is that,
that's unforgivable. That is
Well, they took the Nova and made it like a little a Nash Rambler kind of a market, right, back in the day, right? Yeah, you know, it's like,
you'd be dating yourself.
Boy, right? They took the Nova that used to have a 396 or, you know,
Super
four speed,
sport.
You know, her shifters, and made it a damn
baby buggy.
Rickshaw. They made it a rickshaw.
A baby buggy.
Right. That's a baby buggy.
I was really disappointed when Volkswagen allowed Porsche to create an SUV, Porsche.
Yeah.
I thought that day class A.
Or a four-door. When I first saw the first Porsche four-door station wagon, I thought, WTF, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
That is terrible. I mean, I was discussing my sister.
Nothing,
got a brand
anything
new car.
That was sacred was totally gone at this point.
I mean, SUV being a Mustang, that is so bad. That's an unforgivable sin. That's just.
But I will tell you,
gives
the,
me the heebie-jeebies.
The E Mustang. The electric Mustang, like the battery, like.
Yeah.
You know, people don't understand, the ranges that these batteries are now getting are five. Lucid Air is up to around 900 miles on a charge. You don't you're not going to find an internal combustion engine that'll travel 900 miles on
That's
a tank
right.
full of gas.
That's right.
And the thing is, there's plenty of video clips. They've taken the Tesla S model on the drag strip and going up against the, you know, whatever the vicious Dodge and Plymouth, you know, large block Hemis and
yeah.
stuff. And
yeah,
the electric,
I love
and,
those.
And really, you know, strip race after race, right? The electric cars are beating them because nothing turns up
blowing their doors
like an electric
off?
DC motor.
They're blowing their door. Oh, wow. I don't know
right.
how to get, because you feel the rhythm of a vehicle when you enjoy driving. And
oh,
anything,
yeah, that's right.
you know, muscle car, that Hurst four speed, you know
yes.
what you can do with it, how it feels, what the torque is, how you have to come into the curve, what you downshift, you know, all of it, right? How do
Absolutely.
You do that with
Definitely.
An electric vehicle? How do you do that with an electric vehicle?
Basically, they're more like a, yeah, well, you're right, Gwen. You're not going to have the same feedback feeling coming from the vibrations of the car and the way it's set up and everything.
Well,
but,
and it won't perform the same way either.
Well, 0 to 60, you know, like I said,
I
you know, poor.
Speed is a relative thing when you are, it's say, road rallying. You
yeah,
follow
I know
where
what
I'm
you're
going.
Saying, right. We're rallying.
Where
that
you're, you know, you have to be able to navigate roads that have, you know, different, that are set up so that, you know, that you got your curves, you've got your long distance straights, you got your,
right.
your angular turns. How in the hell do you take, go from muscle to an electric car?
Well, and I'll say this, the DC motor, because it has a permanent magnet, when you take your foot off the gas, then you're going to get a resistance of the motors, and that's going to slow you down into a turn, right? But as soon as you get, you know, halfway in the turn, you go high and cut in low on a turn, right? And when you get down into that point where you go into low into the turn and step on the gas again, you're going to shoot out of there like a cannon.
I don't know. You're going to have to take me through that one on site, because I'm thinking
yeah.
about it going, and Ron's over here thinking, what the fuck are they talking about?
I'm listening and learning.
and
I want to point out, you talk about electricity. This is this week's the anniversary of the electric light of Edison in 1879.
Oh.
Yeah, and he ripped somebody on from Europe off with it, so...
So it was 142 years ago. That you know, it's hard to imagine what it was like before, it isn't it?
Yeah. Well,
No. I've actually dream walked through, like my great great grandfather writing his horticulture book by lamplight, you know, in the nursery, and I can remember, you know, we'd be in the winter up in the A-frames and stuff during the weekends. We'd have no electricity. And we'd use, you know, the lamps, the oil lamps and stuff.
Yeah.
So I can imagine it. I can imagine it, Ron, but, you know.
Well, one thing I want to say, bringing up electric light, Calvin Coolidge was sworn in at his father's farmhouse in Vermont, you know, because he was actually a judge. So his own father swore him in when Warren G. Harding died in 1923. It was the middle of the night, August 3rd, 1923, and he was sworn in by oil lamp. They didn't have electricity in that farmhouse.
Right, yeah.
And I always say to students, he was inaugurated by oil lamp, and it fits him. It's the past, not the future. They laughed about Calvin Coolidge, you know.
But you know, good old days. You're talking about the anniversary of Thomas Edison creating the light bulb, and I would begin to spar with you on who actually created the light bulb first.
It was some guy in Tesla.
Who was the other one? He didn't have a patent on it, though. I think that's what happened.
Tesla's fluorescent light. The original incandescent bulb that basically Edison ripped off had originally been developed over in Europe first.
But Tesla, who, I'm saying, who's the name Tesla? What is he? I'm just coming in with that name. Who is Tesla?
Nikola Tesla is the one who actually...
Nikola Tesla. And what did he invent?
I'm looking it up. He discovered how to harness electricity. Oh, my God.
He's AC current. He is Westinghouse, where Edison was General Electric.
But he did it first.
Tesla wanted to go with AC current through a whole electrical grid, and Edison wanted to go DC with generators like every...
Yeah, so they were competing
against
each other. That's right. Yeah, I'm looking it up now, yeah.
No, what we have, our electric grid that we have today was all based on Nikola Tesla's vision, and he was right.
Yeah,
but yet
he didn't
get the credit or the fame or the money from it, did he?
Well, he was a genius, but he got ripped off by Westinghouse and also J.P. Morgan.
Yeah.
He was generous, and all the big money boys.
Now we have big money. Oh, my God. And talking about that mansion, it's very wealthy. His daughter was involved with that particular medical device that people need. Okay, I can't think of what it is. You know, but, you know, she was crooked, too, you know, his daughter. It's amazing.
crooked. This is the land of the crooked man. No, you know what? You take a good look at history. And the men who've done some really moving and shaking and paradigm shifting in history, behind a lot of them, including FDR, women, and their ideas.
Well,
it's true. It's absolutely true. I'm not downgrading what men have accomplished at all. I'm just saying that men dominate everything, you know, because that's the way they do.
Yeah.
It's a patriarchal society, you know, and has been for 6,000 years, by the way.
Yeah. You know, his daughter, Heather, was the one that was charging high prices for, what is that particular thing that people need?
Insulin.
My father came up with synthetic
insulin so that diabetics could have a shot for basically
EpiPen,
$7 a day.
Yeah, EpiPen price was ridiculous.
And jumped it up to like 100, you know, 150 or, you know, just totally because she bought the company. And so it was tax dollars that developed it, but she bought the company years later, 50 years later, and jacked the price up like 1,500%.
Yeah, and she's rated the 31st most powerful woman because she's got lots of money. That family is very, very rich, there's no question. And he doesn't care about the poor, white, working class people of his own state. It's clear he doesn't. To a mansion, you know.
No, you're right. That is mansion.
And he keeps on getting elected. And by saying what he says, the Republicans will vote for him, even though he's a Democrat. It's infuriating.
Well, you have to realize too, I think that we're ignorant of some facts with elections in this country. It's like how Scott ran down to Broward County here and took 30,000 votes that had not yet been counted away from the electoral board in Broward County.
In which election?
The last one where he and DeSantis got put into office. I mean, I think there's a great deal going on that it's just Tammany Hall and we don't see.
Right.
Well, Republican Tammany Hall, not a Democratic Tammany Hall. Yeah.
Well, and Scott ripped off Medicare tens of millions of dollars. I'll be sort of conservative, right? And I think it was more, not much higher than that.
And he paid a fine for it. He should have gone to prison.
He should have been going to prison. Instead, they elect him into the Senate.
And the governor originally in the Senate, yeah. And always by 1%. Scott always wins by 1%. It's never a big victory. It's funny. I thought Scott was the worst thing you could get, but DeSantis is worse than Scott.
There's no doubt that DeSantis is just one huge you know, one huge catastrophe in Tallahassee. And
the question is, can it be stopped? Now there's three people running for the Democratic nomination, and that's Tadeo, state senator who ran with Crist for lieutenant governor in 2014. Now she's running against him, Charlie Crist, and also Nikki Fried, the agriculture commissioner. The question is, I think Crist is the best bet, but of course he has...
I do too.
But he also has, you know, he was a Republican, then he became an independent, and one of my friends said he runs for everything imaginable. He does. And now he's been a House member. But I think he has the best shot at it, but I don't know if he's going to be able to do it. And same with, of course, with the Senate race. It's possible to defeat Rubio. I don't know.
Why can't we defeat Rubio? Why can't a young, attractive woman, a Latino woman or Cuban woman, step up to it and get it done? Like, I'll tell you who I like, but she'd probably start compromising and going, leaning too far into the right, is
Congresswoman Val Demings, right?
No, not Val Demings.
Very inspiring, though. She's a likely nominee against Rubio, Val Demings.
Is she? Well, she
There are a couple of other people I see on the ballot. You know, there's a primary, but I think she likely will get it. She was a former police commissioner of Orlando, and then has been a House member. Yeah. And she's quite inspirational, I think.
Well, let me ask this, Romay. Don't the Cubans normally vote Republicans because of Castro?
Yes, they do.
And Democrats are going to be just like the socialists or / communists that took over their beloved country, Cuba, and they're just not going to go for it.
But there's more Puerto Ricans now that have moved to Florida since the hurricane and all the other damage of a few years ago. So they usually vote Democratic.
I'm talking Miami and all the Cubans there.
I'm telling you, in Miami, I have to tell you, I mean, the younger Cuban community that comes, you know, the first gens and second gens that are there.
Right.
Voted. I think that they were, I mean, they put Obama in office.
Yes, I wanted to say, I've had Cuban American students who told me they voted for Obama and that, you know, 10 years ago, and they said they don't tell their grandparents.
Right, and
they don't want to be disowned, so they either lie or they just don't say that they voted, you know.
that community, or voting block, and you know, the stamp on it of Cuban Republican in South Florida is shifting as the elder Republicans are shifting into the next dimension. And
I like that, next dimension. That's an interesting way to put it.
Well, we are in Scorpio season as of today, gentlemen. It is time for Samhain. But here's the thing. If you think about it, we had an election where we had a bunch of the Puerto Rican emigre from, you know, the horrible Maria consequences come here.
Yes.
They seem to be voting Republican.
I don't understand why. After Trump went there and threw paper towels at them.
I don't get it at all. And what is?
There's also a certain percentage of black people who are voting Republican. I don't get that either.
Well,
and of course, about one third of Jews vote Republican, even for Trump.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense to me.
Well, Orthodox Jews seem to like him. I had a person dealt with, you know, who was Orthodox, and we don't talk anymore because she's a nut.
Nutters. Yeah. Well,
oh, my God.
It's patriarchy and the drama that comes with it. You know, people like drama. They're addicted to it. Our planet is addicted to drama and fear. And until we get past that, we're going to have a really hard time, I think, with the political everywhere, not just America, everywhere. Mm-hmm. Take a look at Britain right now. And then, you know, it's something close to me. It's like a lot of women and men in my community will like to bring up the, quote, burning times as far as the massacre of feminine healers in Europe and here during the Inquisition and what they call, you know, the church gave us the name of witch. Right. And here's the thing, though. You know, there were very few. The only place where burning women really took hold was in the kilt-wearing clans of Scotland. And outside of there, in Europe, maybe one or two documented, quote, witches were burned. The rest of them, I mean, has everybody forgotten what it means to be sent to the dock? Or, hey, there's a good reason I don't trust ponds or lakes. I mean, in America, not one woman was burned. They were crushed by stone. They were dunked.
Well, and hung like the film.
They were sent to the dock, hanging, and that's how that happened. But you see how myths begin, and how they're perpetuated. And in patriarchy, I mean, fear is the number one. You know, I want to say sheepdog. You know, the number one corraler is fear, and people are addicted to it. And that's why I quit watching the news, because it's such a drama show, you know? I mean, of course you want to know what's going on, but geez, bleeding MSNBC for 24 hours a day, that's not healthy, you know?
My son told me to stop watching so much news. Read about it instead. In New York Times, Washington Post, and elsewhere. Don't watch it.
Right. I read, if I really want to know the news, do you know where I go and look first? I go to Rolling Stone. Because those guys...
Oh, the Rolling Stone magazine?
Yeah. I get online. And they've got a whole political section. Mm-hmm. And they seem to hit on, you know... my big hero was Hunter S. Thompson. Gonzo was my hero in journalism, you know?
Yeah, Gonzo journalism. Yes, Gonzo journalism.
Where the Washington Post and the New York Times were at one time, you know, they're supposed to be the masthead for integrity in journalism, right, Ron?
They are still. Even though they make some blunders, but they are. They're the best newspaper, without a question.
Well, we can't include the Wall Street Journal, I know that. But, you know, take a look at those mastheads. I've been watching on PBS the history of Pulitzer and Hearst. And,
yes.
Interesting.
The most Pulitzer Prizes in journalism have been won by the New York Times first and less so the Washington Post.
Right. But that's not my point. My point is that Pulitzer and Hearst were, you know, greedy.
Yellow journalism.
And power hungry. And
yellow journalism. Started the Spanish American War.
Hearst and Samuel Clemens were at loggerheads with each other because the Spanish American War was all whipped up, manipulated, and promoted with false stories.
Right.
Right.
And henceforth the movie, Rosebud. What was it called?
Citizen Kane.
Citizen Kane, thank you very much.
Yeah, the other night.
Hearst was a dangerous man, and at one point he tried to run for president, but he didn't get very far in the Democratic Party. But he actually was trying to run in 1904 against T.R., but he didn't get very far, goodness.
Yeah, when he was doing that, he actually tried to pay off precinct captains to go out and bribe the voters.
Yes.
You know? It was a shame he didn't realize all he had to do was take a club and beat him. You know, I mean.
Yeah, and Pulitzer, meanwhile, while he had a bad reputation, then he left behind the idea of the Pulitzer Prizes, so people forgot
right.
about the bad stuff.
And that's exactly why he did that, too.
Yes.
It's all
like the Rockefeller Foundation and the Carnegie Foundation. Remember good things about philanthropy, even though they're just wild.
Yeah. You guys
Rockefeller, to improve his image, went around handing out dimes to anybody and everybody.
Yes.
Of course, at the time, dime was worth like, I don't know, maybe, $10 or, $5 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. So he was handing out dimes there and stuff because he was a good, generous man. Well, yeah, but look at all the criminality acts that you did to gain that wealth in the first place.
Yes. The same with Carnegie, Henry Ford, who was an anti-Semite. And
Carnegie, my God.
But they all left foundations, so they have good deeds to be remembered by after they're gone,
right.
You know.
Henry Ford was a murderer too. And you know what? You can say the same damn thing about old Joe Kennedy too.
Well, Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger. Don't think he was working with the mob.
Yeah, you don't think I've heard sailors. I have heard stories about that I didn't believe, and then I met a guy, an old black gentleman who worked at Port Everglades, and he was a little boy, and his father worked for Joe Kennedy and witnessed him execute a line of his smugglers because they were, pilfering out of his stash.
Uh-huh.
You know, without even a blink, did it.
Yep.
And had the rest of them, buried the freaking bodies in the bulkhead. I believe the guy, too. I believe him. Joe Kennedy was no sweet.
Yeah, talking about Kennedy, there's now this thing about some Kennedy assassination materials are being delayed again. You know, it was just in the news today.
Oh, is that right?
By the way,
I just posted on it.
I don't apply that kind of lack of moral value and integrity to his family, his sons. I do not. It was just
Biden postpones release of JFK assassination files, citing pandemic-related delays. That just came. That's news today.
What the hell?
It was supposed to. It's going to be delayed, and so a lot of people think that there's a cover-up, which is going to promote more theories of conspiracies. You know.
Do you really think that Lee Harvey Oswald was the only one involved in the assassination of John F. Kennedy?
I think the actual shooting, yes, I think he was. He was, of course, promoted by others who were involved, but he's the only one who was involved in the shooting. I'm convinced of that.
Really? The trajectory of bullets and all that stuff, you haven't read up on that?
Well, there's debate about that. All I know is chapter in my book about that talks about all the theories, but none of them have been able to be proved to be so. It's a lot of speculation and conspiracy. But of course, I wasn't there, so you never can be sure.
None of them have been allowed to be reproduced evidentiary-wise. In other words, if there were reports, field reports from the FBI that showed bullet trajectory on the president from three different places, those reports disappeared. Right?
Hmm.
This is part of the conspiracy stuff, I know. But you know what? If you think that, do you really think that Lee Harvey Oswald was that kind of a marksman?
He was trained in Russia.
A coworker.
He was trained in Russia. That's Russian information, isn't it?
Well, he lived in Russia. Married a woman in Russia.
Yeah. Does it mean that he actually was trained by, I guess then would be the KGB or the military?
He was a U.S. military man with a rifle, so.
Yeah, and
if anybody trained him, it was our own military.
I thought he was a great marksman. He had become a great marksman, and he was definitely in that building at that time, and he escaped right away. There's so much evidence.
I have no doubt that he shot it. president. I have no doubt. I think that's true, yeah. I also think probably two other people could have done it too.
Well, you know, what's interesting is there is one theory that there was someone, I will tell you in a minute his name, that they claim he was in Dealey Plaza at the time, and he was about, let's see, about 39 years of age, and supposedly might have been involved. And you wouldn't believe who it is. Some people think it's George H.W. Bush. That's a theory.
I think we're going down the road a piece, but
Because you have pictures that looks like him, you know, at that age, you know. And, of course, he was later involved with the CIA, so you can be sure a lot of things died with when he died because he knew a lot of secrets when he was head of the CIA in 1976.
Right.
He wasn't altogether on top of things, but he knew a lot. He knew a lot of secrets, I think.
President knows the whole story. I think Trump knew it. He wanted to release the records, but they delayed it. And now Biden is delaying it. I'm not quite sure why.
You know what? I don't think every president gets to see everything. I do think that there are issues sometimes that keep them from getting it. And unless they, you know, make them, which a president can do, I think, but not every president really thinks, just, hey, give me these records or give me those records. Do you think I'm right or wrong on that?
I have to say, I would just guess that Jimmy Carter may not know. I don't think anybody ever really believed he was in the White House for 4 years, and they didn't want him to know too much. Because I think if he really knew, he might have told us it all. Because I think he's a much more honest, decent person than anybody else who's been in the White House. And
I have to agree with that.
But just on that alone, I would say that Jimmy Carter knows things and he holds his tongue simply because he was president and it was up to him to uphold the secrecy.
Possibly. But also, if he'd ever mentioned it to his brother Billy, oh my God, it would have come out.
Was that an embarrassment, brother Billy?
I
still remember his mother, Ms. Lillian, once, she might have been drinking, she said, Billy is smarter than Jimmy. And I said, what? That wasn't certainly true, but I think she was probably under the influence. She was a character.
Was a character, but she was an awfully good woman, too, you know?
As of course, yeah. But as one of my friends said, he never saw anybody so old. And I said, that's the South Georgia son.
The South Florida, Georgia son?
Yeah, the South Georgia son makes you look, even Jimmy Carter, he looks really old if you look at him. He looks healthy, but he looks really old. He is 97.
Well,
he's
nearly kicking 100. I mean.
I know. But the thing is, I always thought that I never saw any person as old-looking as Miss Lillian, and she was in her 80s, you know. She really looked aged with her skin and all that, you know.
Professor, I have a trivia question for Gwen. Gwen, Jimmy Carter was looking to gain more in politics than being the governor of Georgia, what rock band got behind him and promoted him?
Oh, jeez, I knew this. I want to say Leonard Skinner, but
Before that, the original Southern rock band.
Allman Brothers.
There you go, lady. You got that QB doll on that.
Eat a
Brothers, which meant Greg Allman, who was married to Cher.
Well, it's been Dwayne Allman because he was the older brother and the real manager, driving force of it now. Greg Allman was a great songwriter and brought into a lot of stuff. But Dwayne Allman, who was really the studio musician and had the more experience in that. Now, but here's a trivia question. It's not a trivia question, but a point of interest. My mother's cousin, this cousin were raised by the grandparents, the German immigrant grandparents, more like brothers and sisters, because all the parents in that first generation were shit. And he became chief of police in Daytona, Florida. He arrested Greg and Dwayne Allman in the mid-60s, trying to break into a pharmacy to steal drugs.
Ooh.
I got that straight from and the cousin.
Anybody. Anybody has ever
he told me that story himself.
No.
Yes.
Anybody has ever been backstage at an Allman Brothers knows.
Oh, that's, yeah.
It's like I roadied for Jefferson Starship when they came out,
sure,
because my good friend was marrying their sound engineer. I was with them for about 3 months on the road. Let me tell you what, them puppies would tear mirrors off of motel room walls. You know what I'm
talking
about, right?
That's right.
I was so naive. If it hadn't been for Papa John Creech, I would have been in a lot of trouble. No, you don't belong there. Come here. No. No, the 70s and 80s rock and roll, man.
Yeah.
That's some hard time.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, that's just it. Well, that's why you see a lot of the musicians dying young at 60 and stuff, or late 50s, or,
yes,
you know, if they overdose in drugs. Like, you know, there's the club of 27.
They
were 27 years old when they died. Jimi Hendrix, Janis Joplin, Jim Morrison.
Yeah.
Robert Johnson was 27, so they call it the club of 27. Young musicians.
Yeah, I wanted to bring up something else. You had a trivia question about Jimmy Carter. Tell either one of you, who's the first U.S. senator to endorse Jimmy Carter when, after all, he was not very well known and nobody took him seriously in 75 into 70s? Who was the first U.S. senator to endorse Jimmy Carter?
I have to concede on this one because I was out of the country at the time. So, Glenn, it's got to be you.
No, I know who it was, and it's not coming up in my brain right now.
Oh, then you don't know who it is. Very young. Brand new in the Senate, Joe Biden.
Okay. That's
Joe
very
Biden. Have a picture of him endorsing Carter in the beginning of 76, and nobody took him seriously. Can you imagine that?
I love it.
That's pretty good. That's good,
yeah.
Ron. That's a good one.
Yes. You know, that's why we have him on the show.
And Joe Biden also shares a birthday with Robert Kennedy, 17 years difference, but he has a bust of Robert Kennedy. Every time you see him sitting at his desk, on the right side of the picture, which I guess is his left side, is a bust of RFK, who he admires and wants to model and all that. So, and they share November 20th, 1925 for RFK and 1942 for Joe Biden.
Well, there you go.
Can you imagine?
That picture of Joe Biden at that age in 1976 when he's only 33 years old, oh, my God. Uh-huh. You know, he looks so young, you know, and he's a brand-new senator, but he's endorsing Carter, and people probably thought he was nuts, but he ended up being elected. So, and he's still around to see Joe Biden become president after all those years.
Now, doesn't that just make the story complete?
Yes,
I think that's
it does.
That is.
Sure, that it's, God forbid, if Carter passes on, I will give the eulogy, and, you know, certainly will be a big part of the funeral, you know.
Yeah.
I hope he does it. I hope they both live on, you know.
Well, and here's another one. As a matter of fact, it's been on the news here, and I think it might have been a 60 Minutes piece, but it definitely has been on different news stations, that a rock star legend and an unknown brand-new state senator by Barack Obama decided he was going to run for president, and Bruce, the Boss Springsteen, got behind him and started performing and promoting him.
Wow, I didn't know that.
There you go. It's been on the just recent programming here. Like, I saw it last night.
Bruce Springsteen.
And they're talking about it. They've made it a whole thing. They've got a little clip on it. So I'm sure if you Google it, you'll see it where, and Bruce Springsteen's got this. Is it time up?
We are out of time, yes.
Oh, this has been
great,
so good.
Wow, all these little trivia things are great. Yeah.
I know. That's what makes the show worth listening. Tell your friends to listen to this show.
We're just running on with it. All right, well, gentlemen, thank you so much for joining me this evening. Ron?
Yes, it was great. It always is.
Ron, Wayne, you guys be safe out there this week.
And you too.
I would like to mention that today is the birthday of Ms. Carrie Fisher, who I admire a great deal.
There you go. That's your lady.
Never know that you were for Carrie Fisher if I didn't look at Facebook.
So, you know.
See, how old would she be now?
She'd be 65.
Yeah, much too young.
Oh, wow, she was younger than me.
Strangled by her bra and went on. And she's still very vital in the whole world. So,
yes,
Space Mom.
God bless her.
Space Mom, thank you. And that's it. We're done. We're down and out.
Thanks
good
so much.
All.
Hopefully see you next week.
Good
absolutely.
Night.
Bye-bye.